Now, for those of you that are kind of watching on our YouTube video that's just started now, no, I'm not a caveman. I have come as Planet Earth. You've missed our nativity play kind of thing for this year. But we're going to just have a few moments now to think about this idea of God's gift to us. And I want you to think about what the best present that you've ever, ever been given is. Okay? What's the best present that you've ever been given? I'm going to give you 15 seconds to think about it. Is quite a long time. And now I want you to turn to the person next to you and share with them what the best present that you have ever been given is. Off you go. Okay. All right. I have heard lots of different things from people on this stage. You'll have to guess who out of all the people here said beach buggy, and who out of everyone here said you to somebody. I know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, I rang up my mum to find out what the best present that I ever got when I was young was, because it was harder for me to remember, but she was able to fill me in on what happened when I was about 7 years old. I went to Toys R Us. I picked out the present myself in the hope that I would receive it as a gift. And you know what's really great about this? I was so excited about receiving this that I couldn't sleep in the days before my birthday. So it's birthday, not Christmas, but birthday. Back in, I think it was 99 or 2000, mum can't remember. And I was so excited that on the day of my actual birthday, my mum had to come into school to take me home because I hadn't been able to sleep at all the night before because I was that excited. It was incredible. It was amazing. On the big day, it got to the evening. It was time. The present was all wrapped up. In my head, it had a bow on top. It was sat in the corner of the room, and it was the most gloriously wonderful, beautiful thing in the whole wide world at the time for me. What do you think it was? Oh, good questions, good answers. I'm not going to tell you. We all have ideas, though, of what the best present is, don't we? We can all picture in our minds what the best present is. I can picture in my mind what mine was. And I wonder why it is that you think that's the best present. How do you measure the value of a present? How do you measure the value of a gift? Can you even do that? How do you work out its value? How do you judge what it's worth? Do you look at its size? Do you think of how heavy it is? Maybe you judge it by its cost, or maybe by its usefulness to you, or maybe you have a completely different metric that you use. I don't know. We all have different ways of putting value on things. But as we heard in our nativity story earlier, for Christians all around the world, Christmas is really a time to remember the actual best present that we've ever received is. It's this present that was sent with love from God to you. It is all wrapped up. It has bows on it. It's standing in the corner, and it's a pretty big deal. Now, I wonder if you can follow along with me as I read just three verses this morning from God's word. And I'm not reading from a traditional Christmas passage. Instead, we're going to 1 John chapter 4. The words have appeared on the screen, which is amazing for you to follow along with. So here we go. This is 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 9. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. So this gift sent with love from God to you, I wonder, If we said earlier the reason why we thought our favourite presents were the best gifts we'd had because of the value that they hold to us as individuals, then how on earth do we begin to measure the value of this gift that God has given to us? Well, I thought we could approach it analytically this morning. See, I think all good gifts probably have to fulfill three different criteria. And it's good that they have to fulfill three criteria because I was told a long time ago that all good sermons have to have 3 points. So, here we go. Here's criteria number one that we can measure a gift by. We measure it by its usefulness. What is the usefulness of God's gift to us that we see at Christmas time? Well, that's a pretty easy one to answer as we begin. Because in verse 9 of what we've just heard in 1 John, we hear the usefulness of the gift is so we might live. Jesus said it another way in my favorite verse in the whole Bible. He said this, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." What a promise that is to us. Not just life, not just existence, but that our lives can mean something. That our life has worth, life to the full. Life with a purpose, a life which has value, a life with meaning, a life that has eternal consequences and benefits, a life worth living. See, God has made you to be a special person for a special purpose. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "He chose us, actually picked us out for himself as his own, in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart for him." You were specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made to bring glory to God. Now, given we've done a lot of audience participation throughout this morning, I wonder if you can say this back to me. I am here for the glory of God.
I am here for the glory of
God. God's gift to you gives your life purpose. It helps you to encourage and support fellow Christians to become more like Christ, to use your gifts and talents to help others, to tell those who don't know Jesus yet that there is good news and hope for them. Your purpose is to bring glory to God in everything you do and say, whether that's at work, on your front line, in school, or when you're at play. And when all is said and done, we long to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have brought me glory and you have enlarged the kingdom of God. You have done well." God's gift to us is useful. It gives us meaning and value and purpose. So, yep. Criteria one, fulfilled. God's gift to us is useful. Now, this may be a little more controversial, but I do believe that the second criteria that we judge a gift by is its cost. And so we've got to analyze what the cost of God's gift to us really is. Now, I'm not saying that a value of a gift is higher when the cost is high, but that is a metric that some people would use. Some of the best gifts we can receive are completely priceless, though, aren't we? Baubles hand-painted by your first child, a hand-me-down battered old necklace from a grandmother, a card from a relative you've not seen for years, a chocolate bar from your son that you know he got out of the chocolate cupboard that you have paid for. I never did that, Mum, okay? I never did that. Where am I going with this? Well, we looked at verse 9, didn't we, to see how useful God's gift to us is. I think we could look at verse 10 to see what its cost is. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice. This gift from God with love to us that we see at Christmas time is the most precious gift that God could have ever possibly given to us. Something of worth, something of value, something that is one of a kind, priceless. He gave us his son. God knew what had to be done. He knew what price had to be paid. He knew what it was going to cost him. And he sent his very best for you and for me. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be born as a child for the salvation of the whole world. Ultimately, it cost him everything. As the writer Christina Rossetti said in her poem Turned Song in the Bleak Midwinter, if we think about that, it does sort of beg the question to each of us, what should we give him in return? See, God's gift to you and to me is valuable. I wonder if you can say that like you mean it. God's gift to me is valuable. The third and final metric for how we can measure God's gift to us is through its effectiveness. I don't know what is on your Christmas list this year. I'm going to come down and find out what is on some of your Christmas lists, if that's okay. So have a think, what's on your Christmas list? Do you know what you're asking for this year? What have you asked for Christmas this year? This is going to be a cheap Christmas, isn't it? It's going to be great. Have you thought of one yet? Have you got one, Abimelech?
Yeah, I've a Lego aeroplane, basically.
A Lego aeroplane, amazing. Anyone else got anything they've asked for Christmas? Have you asked anyone? Is no one asking for gifts this year? Is this what the cost of living does? What have you asked for Christmas this year? Lego! Someone buy shares in Lego quickly. Come, Becca. Becca had a very long list of things she gave us this year. Tell us what's from your list.
I genuinely can't remember.
Tracksuit bottoms, I hope. Amongst other things, of course. Yeah. You see, obviously, how effective a gift is probably down to the person and what they want to use the gift for. I've got a few examples here, right? If I got a toaster for Christmas, then what do you expect it to make you? You expect it to make you toast, crumpets, bagels, tea cakes. They're very fancy these days. If I got a coffee machine, then I would expect it to make me hot chocolate. Again, very fancy machines. And if I got some new hair curlers, then I'd have accidentally opened Becca's Christmas present instead. But it does beg the question, doesn't it? Is the gift effective? Does it do what it is intended to do? Well, what is the love of God, this gift from God, intended or supposed to do? Well, it's supposed to change you. The three verses, again, they seem to almost add up like a mathematical formula. 1 + 1 = 2. Verse 9, God's gift is useful. Plus verse 10, God's gift is valuable. Equals verse 11. Out of that comes this idea that we should love one another. Verse 11 says this, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Now, ought here sounds like a suggestion. And when I read it a while back, I kind of was like, we ought to love one another. You know, it's a bit of a wishy-washy word, but it's actually a bit of a poor translation, because the Greek word for ought there really should be translated more as must. And the root word, the kind of the best description we have for it, is probably even closer to that we owe something. You know, if we receive this gift, then we owe a payment. We're under obligation. We must repay it. So I'm going to change the words. I'm not going to change them magically on the screen, but I'm going to change the words when I say them back to you now. If God loved us like this by sending his son to us, this amazing, perfect gift, we certainly must love one another. Why? Because God is not done loving the world yet. He wants to keep loving the world through you and through me. Jesus said it like this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14. And it's a verse I share every year at Christingle services, but I think it's appropriate for this morning. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Does God's love change you? Does it affect your behavior? Does it affect the way you treat people? You see that this gift with love, full of love, that's what it's intended to do. It doesn't make toast. It doesn't make coffee. It can't curl hair. But it can change us into loving, compassionate people who care for the needs of the world around us. God wants us to love the world, and he has a desire to do it through you. Are you willing this Christmas to let God's gift come into your life and shine out of you, showing his love through you in all that you do? Now, if you've come here this morning for the first time and you're hearing this and thinking, what on earth am I on about now? Well, I need you to know that this gift that comes with love from God to you is the most useful, most valuable, and most effective gift that you can ever have the joy of receiving. Come along this evening to our candlelight service. Come along to any of the other services that are happening this Christmas here. Seek Jesus. Seek him this year. And if you find yourself in a difficult place this morning, then know that Jesus is the light of the world, who can bring change to even the darkest places of our troubled world. God knows you, he loves you, and he wants you to accept this gift that he's given to you all those years ago that you can receive today for the first time. And if you already know Jesus, then you've welcomed him into your life. Then you need to realize that over this Christmas period, you are going to have so many opportunities to shine your light into a dark world, to bring the light of the world to other people and show people the importance of remembering what Christmas is really all about. This gift that comes with love from God to you. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we can gather together this morning and all across Christmas time to remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you that this baby, this most beautiful, amazing, wonderful gift of your own Son, came into the world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be our friend forever. We pray that as we celebrate this year, you'll remind us of who you have made us to be. People that share this light with others. People who can show other people what Christmas is really about. And I pray, Lord, that we would all be changed by this gift of love that you have laid down before us. Help us all to know your hope, your joy, your peace and your love this year, and be with us in all that we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.